राधे राधे।
राधे।
इन भक्ति रसामृत सिंधु हियर समवेयर स्थाई भाव मीन्स दे हैव गिवन ट्रांसलेशन दैट परमानेंट रिलेशनशिप इन दैट रिगार्ड सम
व्हाट सेक्शन
दिस इंट्रोडक्शन
इंट्रोडक्शन गिवन स्थाई भाव
they it was given that sthayi bhava means permanent relation sentiments or relationship
yes
here
as a definition the word sthayi doesn't change
yes but as some persons some bhaktas as they grow towards some after that after some time as they grow in bhakti is there are chances to change their emotions or feelings towards krishna from like from dasya to sakhya or sakhya to vatsalya
so the devotee is asking a question about sthayi bhav for the jiva first of all the conditioned soul nitya bhava jiva doesn't have any sthayi bhav he has existence and he has anand anu anand very atomic amount of anand Anandatmika. Jiva Goswami explains in Sandarbhas that the anand feature of the conditioned soul is removal of distress. That's, oh, now this is bliss. But it's not anand in the sense of spiritual anand. So we say that God is Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigra. God is Vibhu and the Atma is Anu. So God is Satchidananda, big size. We are Satchidananda, small size. This is not quite correct. Because Krishna's anand is totally transcendental, totally blissful. He's ananda maya rasa, and rasa vayasa. His whole being is made of ananda. Rasa vay saha. Labdwa anandi bhavit. So he who is ras is also bliss. He who is bliss is full of ras. So this is God, Krishna. So the conditioned soul doesn't have any sthayi rati. He has sat, he's eternal, and he has chit, he knows he's existing. I mean, he has sat, and chit means existence. I am. And that's it. And anand is, it's not really analogous. You can't really compare the anand of the jiva with the anand of Krishna. Krishna is eternal, jiva is eternal. Krishna's existing, we're existing. But then, of course, our existence is finite. His existence, he's all-pervading. Sarvagata, he's everywhere. All-pervading. But anand, this is where the comparison falls short. Because often we've heard, and we said also, as in the beginning of our understanding of Krishna consciousness, oh, Krishna is Satchidananda Vibhu, and we are Satchidananda Anu. But Krishna's anand is not removal of distress. There is no distress. What is distress? Adiyatmik klesh, adibhautik klesh, adidaivik klesh, janma, mritu, jiravyadi, janam dosh, so many doshas, so many dukkhas. We have nothing worse, nothing but misery, karshati, struggle. Prakriti stani karshati. We're situated in this prakriti since time immemorial, no beginning, but Krishna kripa, guru kripa. That beginningless time can come to an end. The time doesn't come to an end. The time in the material world is eternal. Material world is eternal, ever existing. Jivas are ever existing. Spiritual world is ever existing. But our time in the material world will cease when we realize God and go to the timeless realm of the spiritual realm. Go look at Vrindavan. When one meets Sadguru, he meets Guru, then he gets Diksha, and then he gets Diksha process. The process of Diksha, gradually, the bhakti will gradually fructify into a sthayi rati. It's not that everyone has some dormant sthayi rati inside, because if you have sthayi rati, that means you have prem. There's five aspects of prem, prem ras. One, the foundation. Sthayi means the foundation, the existence, the beginning point, the starting point. Like you have the ocean. The ocean is a sthayi rati. So in the ocean there's boats, in the ocean there's fish and ducks and birds and seagulls. In the ocean there's waves, in the ocean there's wind, many things. But the ocean is so vast it's containing all these things. And it stays usually within its borders. And sometimes waves come, but it's It's fixed. The ocean has its borders. So sthayirati is a permanent relationship. Until the jiva meets guru and takes diksha, there is no sthayirati at all, nothing. Sthayirati, that's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is telling at the time of diksha in Anti Leela of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, he says, diksha kale atma samarpan, and says, chidananda maya. So at the time of diksha, then the conditioned soul, he gets the sthayirati, the chidanandamaya. The chidanandamaya means the spiritual body. Spiritual body means he gets the sthayirati. And that sthayirati, first you make the foundation. You dig a big hole in the ground, then you make the foundation. And from there you can go in any kind of direction. So when you take diksha, you get the sthayirati. And the sthayirati is at, in the mantras and in the kripa from the guru. He gives, that's in the bhakti from the guru. So now that sthayirati, that foundation, that will develop as you practice bhakti bhajan. Sthayirati, that's what sthayirati means. It's a permanent loving relationship with Krishna. And as you can read in Nectar of Devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, every devotee, whatever sthayirati he's in, he's fully satisfied with that. He doesn't have any need to upgrade his ticket from business, from regular class to business class or business class to first class. Everyone is fully satisfied in their position, in their service, in their sthayirati, because they don't think, oh, Krishna's Kaviraj explains in Chaitanya Charitamrita that objectively, if someone looks, he'll see that Madhurya Rasa is the highest, the relationship with Krishna and the gopis. This is the highest, most intense and satisfying, pleasing love. But that's objective. So Lord Chaitanya came, he came to give that. It says, Samar Payatum, Anarpita Trim Chirat Karana Yavatirana Kalo, Samar Payatum, Unat Ujula Rasam, Subhakti Shriyam. Samar Payatum means he's come to give. So if someone is giving you something, it means they're giving you something you don't have. Chiram Charat means a long, long time he hasn't given this, since the last previous day of Brahma. Every 314 trillion years, Brahma, there's Krishna comes every day of Brahma. So many manus come and go and all this. So then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also comes. So it's very long ago that he gave. So only 550 years ago or so, Gauranga Mahaprabhu was giving to, he gave to all of his followers, whoever came with him, practically everyone, their sthayirati is Madhurya Rati. The six Goswamis and Jagannanda Pandit and everyone, they're all in the sthayirati of Madhurya Rati. Jagannanda Pandit is sometimes said to be Rukmini, Satyabhama. Satyabhama from Dwarka. So that's also Madhurya Rati, that's Swakya, married wife. So they spoke, they taught, they wrote, the six Goswamis, they're all in sthayirati and madhurati, and they're propagating this and they're teaching this through their books. So then the guru is coming in the lines of Nityananda and Advaita and Gadadhar. They're carrying this gift of Lord Chaitanya, sthayirati and madhurati, gopiva, mandriva, and that's sthayirati, bhakti. Bhakti, bhav, bhakti, sthayirati, bhav, prem, and nitya, siddha, deya, these are all connected. They're not separated from each other. Bhakti, just like we have bhakti, and we have, when we take diksha, bhakti comes and sthayirati comes. So you can see, that's why in ISKCON it's all a little bit mixed here and there, people, because it's not clear what the sthayirati of the founder of Acharya, that mission is. Everything is left to everyone's different idea about that. Somebody say this and somebody say that. But otherwise, that there's no confusion anywhere else. Everything's very clear. So it's permanent in a sense, unless, of course, someone, if they destroy their bhakti, bhakti is nitya, but if someone makes mad elephant offense, then Krishna can become so displeased that the bhakti, it's part of his chitta, it's sanskara, but it may be covered for many, many births as a punishment. Just like you're a lawful citizen, So freedom is yours to travel and move within the country or even go out of the country. And that's part of your right of living here as an Indian citizen. You can move here and there, no visa, no restriction. But if you commit crime and you're restricted by being locked in prison, that freedom is there with you, but now you're in prison. So it may be life and sentence. So your whole life, you have no freedom. You're in a cell, 5x5, 5x7, or 3x7, whatever, small. If you're solo, or you're with 30 people in one cell, a bigger one. So this is a punishment. Similarly, if one commits the great crime of offending the Mahabhagavat, the great Premi Bhakta, the great devotee, then he may for one or two lifetimes be in jail. So he can't express his bhakti is being not, he doesn't have the, he can't express it, he can't experience it because he's confined, he's under confinement due to the reaction of his aparan. So then when he gets free, then he picks up where he left off. That's why we see in the Gita 6:44, chapter 6, verse 44, Bhagavan Sri Krishna says that one automatically is drawn to the sadhana bhakti and the spiritual path that he practiced before. This is purvabhyas, purvabhyasena. That's there, 6:44. This whole section of verses is very nice. It's about yoga brushed and all these things. Yoga brushed means bhakti yoga brushed, any yoga. Yoga means divine practices to link one with or connect one with the absolute truth, Bhagavan or Brahman, Paramatma. And all these yogis, like we're also yogis. We follow yama niyama, asan, pranayam, pratyahara, dhyan, dhruvanasmriti. We hope to go there to dhruvanasmriti and prema. So all these are the steps in the yoga ladder. Our samadhi is prema. Prem Seva Radhan Krishna, that's our Bhakti Samadhi. So therefore these shlokas in this sixth chapter, although ostensibly it's dealing with yoga, Gyan Yoga, but actually these verses apply also to us. And there's some very nice purports of Srila Prabhupada here too. He says, for example, 6:42, Atava yoginam eva kule bhavati timatam etaddi durlabhataram loke janma yadidrisham. 6:41 to 6:45. So that's five verses. 6:41. Prapkya punya kritam lokan ushitva shashvati samaha shuchinam shrimatam gehe yoga brashtabhijayate. Many devotees have heard this phrase. Shuchinam shrimatam gehe yoga brushed bijayate. So if someone's yoga is brushed, is broken, then abhijayate. Where does he take birth? He takes birth in a griha of shrimatam, of rich people or pure people, shuchi. The unsuccessful yogi, after punya prapya punya kritam lokan, the unsuccessful yogi, after many, many years of enjoyment on the punya loka, pitri loka, he's born into a family, righteous family or family of aristocracy. And 6:42. Atava yoginam eva kule bhavati dhimatam etat di durlabhataram loke janma yiridrisham. Or, if he's practiced yoga a long time, and still he falls, he takes birth in a family of transcendentalists who are surely great in wisdom. Certainly such a birth is rare in this world. There's a very beautiful tika by Srila Prabhupada here, which unlike many letters and many other statements that we've heard in the mission that he represents, in Prabhupada's tika, he glorifies very highly the fortunate birth in a Goswami family, like Nityananda Goswami or Advaita Vamshachari or Nityananda Vamsh. He said, if someone is very fortunate, he'll take his birth like in a family of Goswamis, like Nityananda Vamsh. And there, from the very earliest childhood, he'll be trained in the principles of bhakti and devotion. And naturally, he'll become a natural guru. It's a very beautiful purport. I quoted in one article I wrote about the Brahmins, Goswami Brahmin gurus, a couple of years ago for Facebook. So now he says in text 643, Bhagavan Sri Krishna says, someone who falls from yoga, where he takes birth? He goes to heavenly planets here and there. That's because that doesn't apply to bhakti yogis so much, unless they're Sakama bhakti yogis. If they're practicing bhakti but they have a lot of material desires, then all that punya and all that bhakti that they did, all the good deeds, they may spend some time on heavenly planets. Prabhupada wrote one letter where he said, most of my disciples, when they die, they'll go to Chandraloka for 10,000 years and then they'll take birth. Because Prabhupada knows the heart and mind of the disciples, and most of them want to enjoy. You see, practically, many old devotees, so-called old devotees, at least in this contemporary time, initiated by A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, they're 60, 65, 70, 75, and they like very much the comforts and the good things of the material world. And we can't comment, but it may be very well that they're very attached to these type of pleasures and enjoyments, family and friends and music and other things that aren't necessarily transcendental or anukulya for bhakti, pure bhakti. So that might be them. But ordinarily, devotees that are very sincere and endeavoring with pure bhakti, they won't go to any heavenly planets. They'll immediately take birth on this earth planet to continue their bhakti bhajan, immediately. So it says where. We heard about where, rich family or Brahmin family or go to high planets or devotee family, transcendentalist. So Prabhupada in that purport, he's saying that the Goswamis and the Vansa Goswamis, Advaita Vamsa and Nityananda Vamsa, they are transcendentalist. They are transcendental parivars, durlabham. This is very nice. So then he said, so what do they do when they take that birth? Either be Brahmin family or wealthy person's family, aristocratic or wealthy family. What do? They tatra tam buddhi samyogam labhate purva dehikam. They gain what they saw before, right? Labhate purva means purva dehikam, purva dehi. Purva janam, you heard this term, purva janam? So what they saw before, they will take up again. On taking such a birth, he revives the divine consciousness of his previous life, and again he tries to make further progress in order to achieve complete success. Buddhisam yogam buya sam siddhi kuru nandana. So again, he tries for perfection. Now 644. Purva abhyasena teneva riyate yavasho pisa jnyasur api yogasya shabda brahmar tivartate. It says avasha. Avasha means immediately, immediately, automatically. Avasha actually means immediately, automatically. Purva abhyasena yavasha. That automatically he takes up the practice, his heart, his riyate. His riyate, his heart is automatically attracted to the way of sadhana and the abhyas, the daily practices of sadhana he performed in his last life, or she performed in her last life. Puja, or cooking for Thakurji, or prikkama, or chanting, or studying shastra, or speaking harikata, all different types of sevas of the Navavida Bhakti. He becomes naturally inclined. And then 645, prayatnad yatamanas tu yogi sam shudakil bisha aneka janma sam siddhas tato yati param gatim. So now, this time he makes it. He sincerely endeavors. Pratyatnat, he rigidly practices yatamana. He works and he endeavors and very hard, the yogi. Samshuddha, kilbisha. He becomes samshuddhi, completely purified of kilbishai. Kilbishai means sins. Like we hear that verse Krishna says in Gita, those who don't offer their food, verily they're eating sin. Kilbishai, papa kilbishai. So that phrase kilbishai. So that then they ultimately, after many verses, it says aneka janma samsiti, and that aneka janma, it doesn't say go back home back to Godhead in one birth. Get the card, get the invitation to the Sunday feast, with the address, and the front it says Chanare Krishna be happy. Then you go to the temple, they say yes, welcome to Chanare Krishna be happy land. This is Chanare Krishna be happy land, and so welcome. I hope you never leave. And hope you stay in this land and land of chant and be happy, and be happy. And you come to Mangalarti, you can chant your rounds, and you'll go back to Godhead, back home, back to Godhead in this life. And you'll go really fast back to Godhead if you sell Prabhupada's books. Oh, okay, that's the formula. Let's do that. And let's get out there fast. And that's what they tell everyone. That's nice. But here, Krishna's not agreeing with that. Krishna's disagreeing with that very fired up, enthusiastic preacher of Krishna consciousness. He's preaching Krishna consciousness, but Krishna himself, I mean, no one's more Krishna conscious than Bhagavan Sri Krishna. And Bhagavan Sri Krishna is saying that you work, prayatnad, yatamanas to. You work your tail off. I mean, you work, you know. You work like a dog, day and night, and eating one chickpea a day, and sleeping, you know, 1.5 hour a day, and chanting 5 lakhs a day. And then, aneka janma samsiti. Aneka means many. Aneka. Aneka means, after Prabhupada's translation, after many, many births. So Prabhupada is translating that bhakti bhajan, You may practice life after life, and it'll take many births to attain complete siddhi. Because there's no some siddhi until there's some shud. First some shud, then some siddhi. Very nice. Krishna's explaining like that. He says that, and part two of the verse 645 Gita, yogi samshuddha kilbishai. And then, and part three, after many janmas, aneka janma of samshuddha kilbishai, purifying one's consciousness and heart of all, removing and purifying and cleaning out all anarthas and aparads, then one will get some siddhi, perfection. Perfection means what they call going back home, back to Godhead, going to the Nitya Lila of Radha and Krishna to serve them. So this is the situation, the sthayi rati. Once it's with you, then it's permanent. If you don't make any offenses, because your question about the permanency of the sthayi rati is not permanently already there. That's the first point to remove from your conception. It's permanent because that's when they're saying permanent, that's the definition of the entity. But then the entity itself, sthayi rati, is one of the five bhavas or ratis that are involved in experiencing bhava and prem ras, what we call bhakti ras. The bliss and joy of bhakti in its fullest measure is attainable and tasteable and experienceable at the level of prema bhakti. So then we have the sthayi rati is the foundation, and from that then we have the vibhav, which is Krishna and his devotee, and then there's different udipans, or exciting or stimulant factors in the relationship between Krishna and his devotee, that stimulates his sthayi rati. If he's a friend, it stimulates his friendship. If he's a lover, it stimulates her love. If she's a mother, father, it stimulates her parental feelings. That's the udipan. So the permanent feelings, the lover or the parent or the friend, that's the sthayi rati. And the stimulant is udipan. Krishna's flute, Krishna's painting, Krishna's darshan, Krishna's voice, Krishna's letter, anything connected with Krishna. Even the environment of Vrindavan is udipan. The full moon, the chirping of the parrots, the cuckoos, the spring season. These are all incitants four different stairatis. And then feelings arise from the heart of Krishna and his beloved, cowherd boy or gopi girlfriend or mother. And then those feelings that follow that are called anubhav. Then those anubhavs may become, those feelings may start to express themselves externally. There's the internal and external anubhavas. Then they may become accelerated, become sattvic bhav. Then there's 33 vyavachari bhavas that enhance all of that. So all of these put together is what we, a taste of rasa, the most astonishing, blissful taste of loving joy and relationship with Krishna at the level of bhava and prema. So the starting point for it all, the basis of it all, how it all manifests, is the ocean. And the ocean is the stairati. Stairati comes from guru. So you have that. So you see devotees that have stairati, it's called praktana sanskara. It's in Raghavartmana Chandrika and also in Bhakti Sandarbha. Aronika, and praktana. In other words, Aronika lobe and praktana lobe. Some people have greed for Raghunuga Bhakti, praktana, which they got from last life, because they were practicing Raghunuga Bhakti, and they are in association with Raghunuga Guru, and being trained that way and cultivating that way. So from the earliest time of their childhood or their youth, they took up the same idea, as we read, Purva Abhyasena, they begin again. With that interest, they know exactly who the Rishta is, Radha Krishna. They know exactly the goal. The goal is the Prem Seva of Radha Krishna Vrindavan, Nadarana Janam Sundaram. They don't want anything else. Their Paramgati is Goloka Vrindavan, Kunjas of Goloka, Kunjagalis and Rasastalis of Goloka Vrindavan. So this they know from the various earliest, that whenever they Purva Vyasena, whenever they begin to pick up their practice, probably not when he's 3 years old in the cradle, or when he's 10 or 11, at a certain time when those sanskaras, just like we have different sanskaras in our chitta, they will fructify as vasanas. They create vasanas, which means desires to engage and perform different activities. So those vasanas arising from our sanskaras, they awaken and manifest themselves at different times in different circumstances. All human beings have vasana, they have sanskara for man-woman relationship. So now in the right circumstance, kaladeshan patra, then that vasana will manifest from the chitta. Not when you're 2 years old, or three or four, or five or six, or as long as you can hang in there, that's good. Because as long as those vasanas aren't manifesting, you can have a little bit of a peaceful life. But after that, it's pretty much a struggle for the rest of life. Difficult. That's where the purification comes in, but purification is slow. And it's very hard to purify the consciousness. Changing the nature, the svabhav. That's a big subject matter of the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna's talking about svabhav, Arjuna's svabhav. Svabhav is a combination of our purva karma and our gunas, our guna and karma. So he was born as a Pandava, Arjuna, and he had a particular svabhav, guna and karma. And he couldn't change it. Oh, I want to take sannyas. That's not your svabhav. But I'm a pure devotee. I can change. Even he couldn't change his svabhav. Krishna tells in the Gita 1860-61, that whole section there. He's saying, you want to take sannyas, but you go to the jungle to be a sannyas, in 5 minutes you'll turn into a kshatriya and start protecting the adivasis from tigers. Some tiger roars and is chasing some pregnant adivasi lady. You'll grab the tiger by the tail fearlessly and just say, hey, what are you doing, buddy? And just pull him and just pop him on the nose and finish him without any weapons. That's kshatriya, that's Arjuna. With his pinky of his left finger, he can grab a tiger and flip him in the air like a frisbee, you know. Throw him against a mountainside. you throw a frisbee, it bounces off the house or something. So Arjuna can pick up. He's a atirati, maharati. He can fight 10,000 elephants. So what's a puny little kitty cat? puny little kitty cat with some stripes on his back. Rah! It's like, you know, a human being can pick up a kitty cat and flip him all over the place. And you think, well, I'm a big guy, you know, I can be nasty to a kitty cat. That's not good, you shouldn't do, but sometimes nasty people do. Boys, usually. And so imagine. So that there it goes. In 5 minutes, he's, okay, I'm taking a sannyasi. He puts on kopens. He starts walking, starts walking with a stick and a stick and a jolly, sannyasi dandan a jolly. I know. Doing alms, you know, and he feels hungry. Oh, I have to do alms. I have to beg alms, you know. There's no houses around here. I'm really hungry. Oh, this tree is full of mangoes. He just takes a tree like he's, you know, he's Arjuna. 500 mangoes fall down. He just says, ah. Oh, Jai Bhagwan. He said, oh, I broke my sannyas bread. I'm only supposed to eat food by begging, begging alms. And I just shook this tree, you know, like a kshatriya, and got all these 100 mangoes. So it's a foolish proposal to try to change the nature. You have to work within the nature. Prabhupada often said, don't try to change, just add Krishna consciousness. Just add Krishna. Even in the beginning, he didn't say four regular principles. Prabhupada's preaching was just chant Hare Krishna. The magic's in the mantra. The magic is in the mantra. The magic is Bhagavan and his kripa. You may chant and get his kripa, or you may chant and not get his kripa, because it's kripa. Kripa means causeless. If you do something to get it, it's not kripa. You can chant 5 lakhs a day and not get the mercy of Krishna. And someone else can chant 1 round a day and get the full mercy of Krishna. It's not mechanical at all. No way. There's no mechanical formula. If you read shlokas, it says in Chaitanya Charitamrita, anyone who chants 64 rounds, he'll get siddhi. You'll get siddhi if you chant one name. That's also true. What's true for 64 is also true for one. It's the same name. If you'll get siddhi by chant, anyone who chants 64 rounds a day, he'll get siddhi, Lord Chaitanya said. But what about 10 offenses? Oh yeah, that's also there. What about your attitude? That's also there. What about your sanskaras? That's also there. What about your nature? That's also there. So, because people get misunderstand these ideas. Because when is a shastra, these are glorifications. The name has such power. If you chant 64, I know devotees have been chanting 64 rounds and even more for 20, 30 years. They don't have siddhi. And they're vairagis. They're vairagis. They have apparently nothing external in this world. But somehow Krishna's not getting that siddhi. Because that mercy is with Krishna. That's the whole idea of mercy. If he wants to give, he gives. If he doesn't want to give, he doesn't give. So who does he give mercy to? He says in Gita, I'm equal to everyone, but I favor my devotees. So devotees generally are the... they receive more mercy from God than the non-devotees. Because Krishna says, samam sarvabhuteshu namedveshu stiyapriya. So for my bhaktas, I'm equal to everyone. Samaham sarvabhuteshu. I'm equal to all living entities, but for my devotees, I show special favor. You love me, I love you. That's why it was one acharya, famous acharya here at Radhakund. When he initiated, people are recommended and they're brought to him and they say, oh, this, you know, his disciples will bring someone and say, this is a good devotee and they read your books and this and that and they're studying. And so some known disciple of that guru recommends a new person. So the guru says, all right, I don't know this person, obviously, he's from Delhi or whatever. So then this guru, he meets that devotee, he said, he looks at them, man or woman, he says, so, you want to take initiation from me? And they say, yes. He says, do you love me? Someone told me this recently, and I was like, wow, it's not like, are you chanting 16 rounds a day? Are you following for, I mean, that's also obviously necessary and required and much more rules also, much more even than that, than all these four regular principles that everyone knows very well. That's obviously included and required and necessary. But this was rather, I thought, this is the actual bottom line. It's like, I want to, it's like someone says, oh, I want to marry you. And you say, okay, that's nice. But do you love me? I don't love you, but I heard you're really rich. And if I marry you, I can rip you off to the max, you know. You know, my mother, you know, she arranges, my parents arrange this marriage, and I told my parents also, I don't really like this guy, but they said you should marry him anyway because he's filthy rich. And then you'll be able to take care of us. You'll be able to take out, you somehow just tolerate the guy and maybe have a friend on the side or whatever. But, you know, just marry him and take care of us when you get all that money later, you know. So this is actually the point, you know. Because why do you want to how can you serve somebody you don't love? How can you want to associate with I want to hear from my guru, I want to associate with my guru. And because I saw that with A.C. Bhaktivinoda Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada. But I met actually many different gurus in L.A. I was looking for a guru. And I didn't actually even meet him personally, but I just saw him and I just felt that just by seeing him give lectures and being in his personal, let's say, collective presence, social presence with others in the temple and class, morning walks on the beach with 20, 30 people, whatever. Class was 200 people in Los Angeles. But I felt this person is full of love. But when he sang Jai Radha Madhav, I didn't know what is this Jai Radha Madhav. But I said, this person, he's loving this Jai Radha Madhav too much. And then I also, because when you're thinking about getting married, you really check out the person you're going to get married, you know. Check out all the details, known and unknown, and written and unwritten, and obvious and not obvious. So nothing less than that than a guru is the same. Even more so, it's more important relationship ultimately, because it's nitya, guru shishya. Sambandha is nitya, whereas pati-patni sambandha, at best, according to the Vedic Karmakanda, at best it's seven lifetimes. But the guru shishya is not seven lifetimes, it's 7 million lifetimes. It's whatever lifetimes it takes to get where you have to go. So that's a long-term contract. So therefore, you want to know about the person. So just by that, I could understand that Prabhupada was full of love, and that's actually what I was looking for. I was looking for a guru that not only had wisdom and could answer my questions, but actually had love for a personality of Godhead. And most of the gurus that I met, famous, and some one or two are even still alive today, Indian gurus, all of them, from various types of yoga disciplines, they were all very effulgent and very kind, and they're very loving persons. Very loving persons. But they weren't emanating love for a personal God. Because I believed in a personal God. I was born in that situation because that's my sanskara. So I was born in a family where we believe that God is a person and the personality of Godhead. Many friends I know are even Bhaktis I've met over the years, they were born into families of atheists. They were born in Germany and Switzerland. Many, many people in these type of countries are outwardly atheistic. So I remember some students I had in 1995 in India. They're from Germany. And after some time, they were trying to take up the practice, and they said, you know, it's a little difficult, this idea of God being a little blue boy, and he has a planet, and he runs around with cows. And I said, what's the difficulty? As Prabhupada would often say, what is the difficulty? What is the difficulty in Krishna consciousness? Is it difficult to take Mahaprasad? Is it difficult to chant and dance? Is it difficult to read wonderful, exciting stories about a romantic, exciting person like Krishna, superhero? What is the difficulty? Is it difficult to visit Vrindavan and walk around Govardhan Hill? Is it difficult to bathe in the Ganga and Navadvip? What is it? Is it difficult to pull Jagannath's cart in Rath Yatra and Puri? What is the difficulty? It's all bliss. Kevalananda Kanda. So what is the difficulty? We asked this German bhakta, and they said, the thing is, Swamiji, My mother and father, I was born in an atheistic family. And I grew up in Germany, and most people there, and this is, person was born in, I don't know, 1970 or so, 75. Most people there are atheists. So I didn't have any idea about a personality of God. I never heard that or thought that. So that's their karma. That's their, because of their purva abhyas, their purva practices, they were Kaivalya bodies or Gnostics or atheists themselves. So that's where you take birth. But we were born in a very wealthy family of people that believed in the personality of God. So that made it easy to believe in Krishna. So this is the point. The guru will give sthayirati, and then you develop, practice bhakti bhajan, and then from that sthayirati, everything else will manifest. You understand? Is it clear? So it's permanent, because bhakti is permanent, and that sthayi, the word meaning sthayi means fixed. Like we say, lila stali. Stali and stan, lila stan. Lila stan, lila stali, stai, stai rati. All of these mean yudhisthira, stira. Stira means fixed in battle. He was called Yudhisthira Maharaj, the leader of the Pandavas, because he was immovable in battle. Stira. Like we say, stita di. So stai, stita, stai means fixed. Fixed in one place. So that's the basic word meaning in Sanskrit. So stai rati. Rati means bhav. Rati means love. The permanent, fixed love, which there ain't none now. It's not there. Otherwise, if stai rati was there, from the time you're born, you'd be interested in Radha and Krishna automatically, or attracted that way. So many of us, of course, are worshipping Radha and Krishna in this life, and we probably worship Radha and Krishna in our last life also. So that means sthayi rati is carrying over from the last life. That's what I'm saying. It's, once you have the sthayi rati, then it'll be with you life after life until you attain prema, and it'll still be with you. It's sthayi rati. It's part of the lakshana of the siddhadeya of the jiva, the sthayi rati. It's like Krishna is a sthayi rati, right? But his sthayi rati is, he's Akhila Rasa Murti. All the rasas, he has sthayi rati and vatsalya sthayi rati, and all these different. But for us, we worship Krishna in the sthayi rati of Madhura Rati, in the Parakiya Bhav, as the romantic lover of the married gopis, the Brajavadu. So this is the... And you're always in your sthayi rati. You don't change sthayi ratis. Subal doesn't one day become a gopi. Subal is a sakiras, but he has quite understanding of the, because he's a category of priyanarma sakas, so they have some good understanding of Krishna's conjugal, let's say, amorous affairs with the gopis, and even assist them in Radha Krishna in very intimate ways in their kunjalilas to some extent. So, but he's still a coward boy. He's not a gopi.